It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, the House of Representatives passed the SAVE Act requiring identification in order to vote. It got through with the affirmation of only one Democrat, and now it goes to the Senate. Republicans in the Senate, with the exception of rhinos like Lisa Murkowski, say they will vote for it. Well, isn't that special? Only one problem. It will never come to a vote. To even reach that point, a majority of 60 has to send it to the floor for a vote. And while there is a GOP majority, they do not have 60 votes. This is because of a humble little slice of political intrigue called the filibuster, the tired, stupid, idiotic, brainless, obsolete filibuster, which keeps the party in power from actually exercising any power. Make no mistake, this obsolete filibuster will allow elections to continue being corrupt. And while they aren't corrupt in every state, they are corrupt in many states. The filibuster, which Democrats will get rid of the moment they control the Senate again, which makes it all the more important to pass voter ID laws to keep elections from getting rigged and prevent them from coming into power again. But the GOP won't do this. No, they view the Senate as a gentleman's club. They don't want to treat the Democrats in a way that they wouldn't want to be treated themselves. Isn't that nice? A gentleman's club. Even though the Democrats are running out of gentlemen, wouldn't be able to define a gentleman or a lady. As always, the GOP acts like the enabling wife as the Democrats take the role of the abusive husband. Interestingly enough, voter ID is very popular with real voters. So popular, you would think that both parties would eagerly pass such legislation. Latest Pew Research poll, 83% of U.S. voting adults support some form of government-issued photo ID to vote. And the breakdown's interesting. It's not just Republicans. Listen to this. While 95% of Republicans do support this, 71% of Democrats support it, 67% of independents. This also includes 82% of Hispanic Americans and 76% of Black Americans. Black Americans, the ones Democrats claim will be suppressed at the voting booth if the SAVE Act passes. They say it will be like the old Jim Crow laws of the South, where blacks were prevented from voting. Oh, really? Well, then why are so few African Americans concerned about this? Could it be that they are not being suppressed at the voting booth? Wouldn't they know more than anyone if this was really happening? Let me explain something. It's precisely because voter ID is so popular, even with Democrat voters, that Democrat politicians don't want it to pass. They don't want it to pass because it is popular. Are you following? You see, they don't care what the people want. They don't care about what voters in their own party want. They care about staying in power. Their positions on voter ID are as unpopular as all of their positions. Who wants men playing on women's sports teams? Who wants open borders? Who wants states to refuse handing over murderers and rapists and sex traffickers to ICE for deportation? Hardly anyone. And since Democrats know how unpopular they are, they know that for the most part, they can't win fair elections. So they get illegal people to vote, portraying themselves as the party that will take care of them and allow them to stay in the country. Democrats don't like voter identification because they know they can't win elections with real votes. It's just that simple. Oh, I'm not saying we don't have actual citizens with voter ID stupid enough to really vote for Democrats. We do in many cases, but often the Democrats are losing. And yet after the votes are counted, they mysteriously win. So they lie. They claim voter ID is a return to Jim Crow laws, a return to segregation, not a lick of truth. But Democrats are in no danger of being diagnosed with a condition for truth-telling. And the very idea that black people are incapable of obtaining a driver's license or some other form of identification, putting aside the fact that this is a very condescending, racist viewpoint, which ought to insult every person of color who does anything without a license or some form of official identification. You need identification to fly in a plane. You need identification to check into a hotel, to rent an apartment, to apply for a job. You need an identification to purchase alcohol, to apply for Medicare or Medicaid. You need ID. Who whines about the importance of Medicaid and Medicare more than the Democrats? But I saved the best for last. You can't get into the Democrat National Convention without identification. Is the Democrat Party guilty of its own Jim Crow laws? Maybe. Don't forget, they were the original party of Jim Crow, segregation, and slavery. Yet somehow, they have changed the narrative portraying Republicans as the racists, even though the Republican Party was created by abolitionists to be the anti-slavery party. No ID to vote. These are the people who always scream about election integrity when Trump wins, but they don't want ID to vote. These are the people claiming that Russia interfered with the 2016 election, but they don't want ID to vote. I guess their interpretation of election integrity means ignoring who is or is not a citizen and just making sure Trump is stopped at all costs. How do you stop him? Take his name off the ballot, take him to court, call him Hitler so some psychopath will shoot him, and if he wins, have judges overturn his policies, the policies that got him elected. What part of these inconsistencies do the Democrat politicians not understand? Actually, they understand all of it. These politicians aren't stupid. They're evil, but they're not stupid. They just hope you're stupid. They have contempt for you. Your vote is nothing but a bridge to their power. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions at bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Breaking news on the Tucson kidnapping. You ready? The breaking news is that according to our sources, there is nothing new to report. No new details or clues have been uncovered as of this moment. And now we will turn to our panel of experts to explain exactly what we do not know and why we do not know it. They will also discuss what we would know if we did know something. The discussion will take up our entire program and every news show for the next 2 weeks on our 24-hour world news network. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I'm not saying this story isn't important. Like most of you, all of you, hopefully, I have been praying for the safe return of Nancy Guthrie. To the family, nothing else is on their minds and nothing else could possibly matter. Of course, we understand that. But for the rest of the country, we have kidnappings all the time. Many we never even hear about. We are hearing about this one because the daughter, Savannah Guthrie, is a celebrity. But there are other things also going on in the world. We're on the possible brink of war with Iran. The government is experiencing a shutdown. We have Democrat politicians flying to a conference in Germany, shooting off their big mouths about how evil Trump is, all the while displaying nothing more than how stupid they are. On Fox News, which is usually a better outlet than most, this is it. Arizona, Tucson, that's it. It's all you hear on Fox and Friends in the morning. For several days, it took up each and every entire episode of Laura Ingraham, Jesse Waters, Sean Hannity. Oh, after a while, these shows finally started reporting some other news, but only for brief segments. Then they return immediately to Tucson for breaking news. Do you honestly think Sean Hannity doesn't want to talk about other things? Obviously, he and the others are obeying a memo that came from the top floor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying they shouldn't talk about this event in Tucson. I'm not even saying they shouldn't talk about it a lot. I'm saying there is other news. The world is a big place. And for Pete's sakes, go back to this news story only when there's honestly something new to report. It was the same with the death of Michael Jackson. Fox News talked about nothing else for 2 weeks. Glenn Beck had a show on Fox during that time, and his show was preempted those entire 2 weeks for shows about Michael Jackson. I'll never forget the day Glenn Beck returned to the airwaves. He leaned into the camera and he said, according to reliable sources, Michael Jackson is still dead. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, I luckily have some new news stories for you for this time, so that way we don't have to talk about it.
Real news?
Yeah, that's right.
Honest news.
All right. First story I have for you is Nancy Guthrie. No, I'm just trying. No, but it is a very sad situation. I do have
to say. Of course it is, and we're not saying it isn't. We're just saying, for Pete's sake, 24-hour world news networks.
Yeah. So I wanted to focus in on what you were talking about in your monologue earlier about voter IDs. I don't understand why there's 20% of politicians that are against it. I don't understand why. I don't understand how. But luckily, we do have an 80%. And luckily, the fathers of our country said at least 60% of you say yes. That means it can get passed. Or 66 too in some other places. So therefore, it should get passed, but we'll wait and see because you never
know. How will it get passed in the Senate with the filibuster? The Democratic senators are not going to go along with this.
Oh, that's for sure. Oh, at least they're the 20%.
It's not even going to move it. They're not even going to move it to a vote on the floor.
I'll wait in anticipation for those.
The Republicans could get rid of the filibuster, but I don't think they're going to do it.
No.
Now, they could do this thing where they've done things where they temporarily get rid of the filibuster for this instance. Mm-hmm. Let's hope they at least do that, but who knows?
Yeah. In the meantime, how about our own state of California? So this whole SAVE Act is specifically only for the national election right now. In terms of the state election, they don't have any jurisdiction for that. So luckily, we have a big proponent that's trying to help get this initiative going through the state, and that would be our very own Republican San Diego Assemblyman, Carl DeMaio. We've talked about Carl DeMaio plenty of times.
He's a good man.
He's a very, very good man, and a really good radio show host back in the day, too, as well. So I do want to give a shout out to that. Now, of course, we have those opponents who say this will make it harder for low income and people of color to vote. No, it's not. It's not in the slightest.
So they've got to prove to us that low income people and people of color never use an ID for anything.
Exactly.
How are they renting their apartments? Oh. How are they walking into a drugstore?
Yes.
It's just, they just think people are that stupid.
Exactly, yeah. And again, referencing Dave Stahl last hour, he was saying Nancy Pelosi, I believe, or Kamala Harris, one of the two, said, you know, people can't go to Office Max or Kinko's anymore these days to get their IDs printed out. And I'm like, what? That's not where IDs are printed in the first place in those two places. So.
You go to the DMV or you go to a post office and you get a passport. It's not that hard to do.
Exactly. And it doesn't cost much either, too, on top of that. So DeMaio said in an interview that supporters this week will be submitting 1.3 million petition signatures. And this is the amount that's required by the state of California to land on the ballot later on in November, this initiative to allow voter IDs into the elections.
Well, this sounds great. There's only one problem. And you know what it is. They're going to also allow illegal people to vote on this. And
exactly.
In California, it's against the law at the moment to ask for ID. So I think most people in California would vote for this, but who knows what that election result's really going to be.
Well, again, I feel confident enough that maybe, just maybe, this might get passed enough where they will say, okay, for the local elections and the state elections, we will do voter ID too. But again, your skepticism is heard too,
well,
Bob.
Mean that the Democrats in California are planning to cede power. I'm not holding my breath.
Now, DeMaio said, and quote, what the politicians refuse to do, the citizens must act on our own, noting that signature gathering is expensive and hard. Getting a million signatures in California is not easy, particularly when we don't have a lot of funding. There's no moneyed interest.
Do we even have a million people here anymore after they all fled?
I know,
from
right? Exactly. There's no moneyed interest behind voter ID. It's just good government. He also mentioned that while he is confident it will pass the state House of Representatives, he does not believe this will pass the state Senate, mind you. There are representatives in California, but they also have a Senate just like the federal government
right.
side. He also says, too, that the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber, has said several times that the election safety protocols and requirement of proof of citizenship and identification in order to register to vote should be enough, not needing a card, mind you. And he has said herself that the best way to prove that she's not telling the truth is while she says we're doing all these things and being told by a fiscal analyst, it would cost millions and millions of dollars. So my question is to the Secretary of State is, which is the lie? Specifically, is it hard to get the identification card for these low-income families? Or are you saying that it's spending millions
of
dollars?
Well, and if they have to show proof of citizenship to register, then they obviously have an identification anyway. So why not show that same thing when they vote?
Not to mention, Newsom said that we were in billions and billions of dollars in debt. So where is that funding coming from in the first place if it's not coming from your office, specifically Secretary of State lady? This should be not hard. This is done by other states. 28 other states have similar voting ID requirements. I used to live in one, Virginia, one of the earliest ones to implement it into their system. We should be giving our voters, any party, Democrat, Republican, and Independent, the highest level of trust and confidence in the outcome of these elections. Now, I do want to mention two things that Democratic leaders here in California are planning to do, obviously. You could say the third one, which is the filibuster situation, but here are the other strategies they can do, too.
Well, they don't need the filibuster here because they have the majority anyway.
It's true. I do want to mention this other strategy they had, actually, which is placing a competing or countermeasure on the ballot. One of the interesting things is that one of the state senators is Akilah Weber, who is the daughter of the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber. She's trying to file a placeholder legislation on voter ID. What does this placeholder legislation have? Absolutely no details. It's just there to stop the bill entirely. There's no other details.
And they'll probably try to confuse the wording so that you think you're voting for voter ID and you're really voting against voter ID.
Right. Now, the other strategy besides the filibuster, again, like you said, they might not need it here in the state.
If they already hold a high majority, they don't need it.
Exactly.
It's the minority party that loves the filibuster.
It's true. They say that if it does get voted, they said they can just take it to the court system, which Lord knows.
That's the other thing. And this is true nationally. Even if the SAVE Act passes, passes, you know some judge within 30 days will overturn it.
Absolutely, because they have the power, unfortunately, and they overstep that power.
Anything Trump does, no matter what the people voted for, they will just overturn it.
Exactly. Yeah. So in terms of what's going to happen later on down the road, who knows? I personally will have positive hope. And I know I say that with the state of California, but I have positive hope that the people will vote and say yes to this voter ID.
Well, if the Save Act passes, it won't matter what California passes because that'll be national.
That's right. Now,
some judges will have to go on a long vacation in order to leave that one alone.
It's true. Now, I do have to end this segment here on a very sad note, unfortunately. One of my favorite bands of all time was Three Doors Down. I got to see them live pretty recently, actually last year. And this was right before the lead singer himself, Brad Arnold, announced that he was battling stage 4 kidney cancer in May of 2025. It sounded like he was doing very well and pleasant. He even posted on Christmas saying, still fighting. But unfortunately, he did pass away this last Saturday. Now, one of the things that was kind of interesting was that 2 weeks ago, as we know, Jim Barrier had a heart attack, and I wanted to
play. And you were going to play a tribute song.
I was, and it was going to be from this band, but unfortunately, we didn't get to it due to technical reasons. But tonight, I am going to play a song. Now, it isn't going to be the same song for Jim Barrier. This is going to be a different song. He meant this song specifically as a tribute to his wife every time he goes on tour, but now I think this song has a brand new entirely meaning to it for sure. So from Three Doors Down and the lead singer of Brad Arnold, who passed away at the age of 47, here's the song, Here Without You.
A 100 days have made me older since the last time that I've saw your pretty face. Have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. But all the miles that separate disappear now when I'm dreaming of your face. It's only you and me.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, on the subject of California, I don't know if you've been filling up your tank, Bob, but it's been getting more expensive.
Yeah, it had gone down for a while, and now it's going up there again.
Yeah, actually, in recent news, it says here that California gas prices have actually been rising 40 cents in the last 14 days. That is an insane increase.
Well, you know why. The government knows we need our cars to escape from the state. They're trying to lock us in.
Oh, no. I actually know the other reason. Governor Newsom, the trustful resource of Governor Newsom, says, oh, no, it's the gas companies. It's their fault. They're the ones that are offering it to us at this
greenhouse
price.
Greenhouse gas is bad for the country. He talks kind of like Clinton.
He does, doesn't he?
Greenhouse gas is bad.
He also has like a tired voice.
I take full responsibility for the French Laundry restaurant.
No, he doesn't. The statewide average now stands at $4.58 per gallon, which is up $4.46 a week ago and $4.18 just 14 days ago, according to the American Automobile Association. Refineries are scaling down operations, which has made a big impact on the oil supply in California. You know why? Because like you said, California's kicking them out. Chevron, we talked about this.
Well, they're just bombarding them with taxes. Why exactly would any person in his right mind want to stay here? Oh, yeah. We live here, Brendan.
That's right. I know. Well, we're still fighting, at least. These companies, they can't do anything about it, and they just are forcing themselves to leave at this point. And again, we talked about this a few months ago. Chevron was one of the big ones that said, oh, we're up and leaving. And keep in mind, they started as the oil company of California. That's how they established themselves as the company.
My favorite was when they announced that by 2030, they wanted everybody on electric cars. And that same week, we had power outages, and he started asking people not to charge their cars.
Exactly. I think I call it ironic a little bit there when he says that. But nevertheless, the move follows other major pullbacks, including Phillips 66's Los Angeles refinery steadily reducing California's ability to produce its own gasoline. This is a quote from Michael Ariza, who's the petroleum expert, who told the California Globe, I'm afraid that Valero will have more of an effect in our region. In the Bay Area, we only have 2 out of the 5 refineries producing gasoline, jet fuel, and propane. Valero is down. ConocoPhillips and Rodeo and Marathon and Martinez are only producing biodiesel. The prices of California gases are climbing on its 14th day. Places like San Francisco and San Rafael have prices topping $4.80 per gallon, making them some of the highest rates in the state right now. And prices are still expected to rise by the end of this year. According to experts at UC Davis, who did a study in August of 2025, they found that California gas prices, according to these statistics, could reach $1.21 from right now. Right now, as we're speaking. So that means gas could be $4.79. I can't even imagine that. We're getting close to that $5 mark, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And it's all because of a person who says, no, 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 it's the gas company's fault. No, it's not. It's not. Because guess what? You are deciding to do this on your own and making sure that this state gets in a worse state than it's ever been before. And
he does what he can to destroy the state, and then he wants to be president. What, is he running to destroy the country?
I hope not. I really, really hope not.
And he's not going to get the nomination. You know who I think they're going to nominate? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
No, I don't think
I think she's either her or somebody we haven't heard of who hasn't really gotten on stage yet. That's my prediction.
Well, I will say, I do remember you saying about a year ago or 2 years ago, a certain Michelle Obama is in the lurks, you think?
Well, she was always saying she didn't want the nomination, and that's what people always say when they're running. She's exactly. Whined so much about what it was like to be a first lady, though. I'm starting to wonder if she really does want that. I've never heard anybody complain so. It was like it was tortured living in the White House and having the greatest honor you can possibly have in the country for 8 years, and all she does is go on podcasts and whine about it.
I know. And it gets tiresome, too. And not to mention, some of the things that she was trying to put out there to her husband to make sure that they run was just already horrible ideas in the first place too. So I can't even imagine her trying to run the country.
Wasn't she in charge of the meatless Mondays and things like that?
Yeah. So in the meantime, going back to the story here, Bulat Ghafarov is an assistant professor of agricultural and resource economics at UC Davis, said in 2000, the California gas price was approximately 25 cents higher than the national average. But in 2025, it's now $1.50. And he does see that the increase in the national average and the California price will go higher in terms of the price gap between the two, obviously. Now, you think this is just affecting us? No, of course not. It's also affecting the farmers here in California, as you know, because they need a lot of gasoline for their tractors or other agricultural needs that they need in here too.
And so, shipping industries need gas to bring produce. It affects everything.
Exactly. So don't be surprised if this impacts higher grocery prices in stores, especially tree nuts, honey, meat, rice, and produce, just to name a few things, obviously. Now, one of the things that the Democrats are trying to push to help try to lower this, get this, is mileage-based taxes, of course.
So now they're going to tell us how far we can drive.
Exactly.
The more you drive, the more you get taxed.
Exactly. So therefore, they think that will decrease the gas price. But actually, economic experts have actually told them, no, they'll actually worsen it because the demand for gas won't be as much. So therefore, they'll have to raise the price.
If I didn't love doing this radio show, I would tell them over the air just exactly what they can do with that mileage tax and where they could put it.
Well, I wish FCC was still
but
shut
down. I want
down.
To stay on the air.
I know, but I wish the government shutdown was happening. Then we could have the FCC regulations kind of lowered a bit too. Anyways, when we come back, we have some really, really crazy situations going on at Balboa Park. And I bet most of you know what's going on.
I heard
that
they reversed some of that charge for parking, though.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, I know you're following this more than me.
Yeah.
Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No. Actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to be joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
You know, Bob, when I first reported that they were going to charge for parking in Balboa Park, I said, I think, that's a terrible idea. I don't think they should implement that at all. But, you know, you learn your lessons, I guess.
We all think it's a terrible idea.
So I wanted to talk about some of the negativity. Now, yes, they have kind of reversed some of the
aspects. Aren't they letting you park at the zoo if you're a zoo member with a zoo card?
Something along the lines of that.
Well, I am a zoo member, so that's good news for me.
You have to register within the city, I believe, still.
Oh, you
have to get the certain pass. Yeah, and that way you don't get charged anymore. I know.
How much do they charge you to register?
Luckily, that's free. Luckily, they say. So as long as you have the right...
Something free in California? Boy, somebody's head's going to roll for coming up with that one.
I know. But some of the more other ridiculous things, as soon as they implemented the parking meters at Balboa Park at the next city council meeting, you know, at the very beginning of these meetings, they allow people to speak up about what they want to talk about in the non-agenda parts of the thing. But they noticed that every single person wanted to talk about the parking situation. So instead, they decided to put it in the way back of the agenda, which is not really allowed, I believe, in local governments. But nevertheless, people then were getting very frustrated and they had to sit through a 2-hour long meeting before they could finally speak up and tell about what their opinions were about the whole
thing. And then the minute
situation.
They speak up, whoa, look at the time.
Yeah, you're only allowed 1 minute in the city of San Diego, if I remember correctly. Other places, they give you 2, 3, even 5 minutes.
You know what we should do? We should go to the city council and explain to them that parking meters contribute to global warming.
Maybe that will change their mind immediately.
Change their minds right away.
Who knows? The other thing I did want to mention was Mayor Todd Gloria was offering $77,000 as a reward for people who have any leads on who is damaging the parking meters at Balboa Park. Where are you getting that money from, Todd?
Why don't you use that money to just lower all the prices so you don't have to charge people to park?
By the way, Todd, aren't we in a budget deficit? That $77,000 could, you know, help out in a certain area.
Budget deficits never affect the politicians.
No, well, that's right.
People in Congress that are shutting down the government, they're still getting paid.
It's true.
And they're being paid to do nothing.
Exactly. So therefore, they could just push it on to the next generation. They'll deal with it later on down the road, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The city of San Diego did announce that they said that, well, we do have some good news. Right? I'm like, what? what good news do you
have? We'll take it. Whatever it is, we'll take it.
They said the allocated parking meter revenues that they got from Balboa Park have paid 3,500 neighborhood repairs. So whoever is paying all of these parking fees are apparently helping out with some of the infrastructure that's going on in downtown San Diego.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were repairing other parking meters, in which case I wouldn't care for the repair.
No, exactly. Please don't. They said that it's been helping with sidewalk repairs and other potholes and street lights that needed to be fixed. Now, keep in mind, these were all requested back in October of 2024, so they still have a huge backlog, and they said the reason why there's been such a backlog of all these repairs is because, again, we just have very little funding to even help this out. So thanks to those who actually paid the parking at Balboa Park to help fund these repairs. But nevertheless, you still got a long list to go. And if you have any more, they said, please put it on the Get It Done website, which I have never heard a more ironic name of a website for a local government.
I didn't know California knew the words Get It Done. Yeah.
Not to mention, SANDAG themselves have put in $7 million to the city of San Diego to help fix these repairs. SANDAG is one of the most scammiest scams I have ever heard of. If you don't know any information on SANDAG, please do your research, because let me tell you, the way they are able to get the money that they get, and yet they always are complaining about, well, these projects aren't getting done. I wonder who is responsible for that, Sandag. You're as much of an issue as the local governments are, so I can't stand Sandag in the slightest, too, for that matter. So, again, to those who are doing this whole situation or having to deal with the Balboa Park in general, I'm so sorry for it, and I'm sorry for the museums that are getting less and less visitors, less and less volunteers wanting to help out at the museum. It's ridiculous in the first place, and they should have had a better idea to implement for the city if they were in this much of a budget deficit. And I'm not talking about the trash collecting idea. I'm specifically talking about you might need to cut some job positions. You might need to look at your own salary.
Bureaucracy?
Yeah, something like that. But unfortunately, politicians, they like the money and they like the attention. And so therefore, yeah, they're just going to implement this.
They like everything except doing what they were elected to actually do.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take one more commercial break. And this time I have an update on the governor's race here in California. And it's actually good news for you, Bob.
I'll take it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Brendan, I meant to tell you that that song you played at the first segment was a beautiful piece of music and a very fitting tribute.
So. Well, thank you very much for that. I love that song dearly, and I think it was a fitting tribute as well. I mean, I get it again. It was more for whenever he went on tour, but I know his wife is definitely missing him right now, for sure.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, so we have a state governor race coming on. The California governor's race is getting really, really close.
Be wonderful if Steve Hill won this.
It would, but I'm also a fan of Chad Bianco.
But I hope they don't cancel each other out.
I hope not.
They
either.
Are both good men.
But good news is, this is some terrific news here.
Yeah, Chad Bianco, isn't he the one who used to resist COVID regulations?
That's right.
We had him on this show as a guest.
That's correct, yes.
Well, now I want him to be governor. That way I could say I had a governor on my radio show.
There you go, exactly. So in the meantime here, there's a possibility that this could be a Republican versus Republican race here in the state of California. Now, it's not
even have a Democrat on there at all.
Exactly. It's very, very
big. The Democrats aren't even going to need to cheat. There would be no point in it.
That's right. So, Political Data Inc. and elections expert Paul Mitchell created a new online tool that allows anyone to input polling numbers and campaign spending and other data to show what governor's races could look like in November. He notes that there's a 12% chance, which is pretty high in my opinion, Republican versus Republican race.
What happened to that Democratic woman that got into trouble by mouthing off to the reporter and refusing to do the interview and
that was
saying, you're in my shot? Is she still trying to run?
Yep, Katie Porter is still trying to
run. How's
she
doing in the polls?
She's leading the polls, unfortunately.
Oh, Bob. Well, then why is it possible that this will be Republican?
Well, right now, the two leading candidates, I will say, are Republicans. It's Chad Bianco and Steve.
Wait. If the Republicans are leading, then how is she leading in the polls?
She's leading for the Democratic
side. Oh, the Democrat poll, but yes. She's not leading overall.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco are leading right now, currently. But again, these polls are kind of,
they should
I don't know.
Team up and one be governor and one be lieutenant.
Exactly. I would say, personally, if I'm Chad at this point, there's a lot more media attention on Steve currently right now. And I hate to say this, I'm going to have to say, Chad, you might want to bow out and just say, I'm endorsing Steve at this
point. Unless we can get him to come on our show again.
Then we don't want to encourage him to Steve, chop out now. But going back to what I was just saying here, I really think that this would be a really, really great thing for California. Now, again, 12% is a pretty low mark, but it's actually higher than I expected personally. The rare opportunity for Republicans would be the result of California's top two primary system that allows a race's top two vote getters in the primary election to move forward to the November election, regardless of political party, our state system here. The Democratic Party should be concerned about this small probability that two Republicans make the runoff because it could politically decimate them in November, especially, you know, recently with Prop 50, or as I like to call it, the Slop 50, because it's full of sloppiness and it's terrible. I mean,
I like that, Slop 50.
Yeah, thank you. I really can't stand looking at that bill and saying, wow, I just gave an extra seat to the Democrats, or again, we kind of rigged the election to make them have it in the first place, because I swear I hit no on the screen, and yet it went to the plus sign for yes for some. Every time I hit, I'm like, oh, that's not, what? How does that work? Nevertheless, the California Democratic Party held its convention this weekend where they were going to endorse.
Did they have to show ID to get in?
That was a very good one, Bob. I will give you applause for that one. They were going to endorse a Democratic candidate, but unfortunately, they did not agree with it. In order to endorse a candidate, they have to win 60% of the delegates, and no one got any of the 60% still. What a surprise. So there's still no endorsement yet. Their next meeting, they said, is going to be 2 weeks from now. So I'm waiting in anticipation on that one, let me tell you. But in the meantime, I'm hoping that the Republican Party finds someone to endorse too, because they have 8 candidates to choose from. Now, obviously, you know which top two are there, but who are they going to officially endorse? They have to figure that out, because they can only endorse one person. That's the rule. So between Chad and Steve, right now, Steve is in lead. He's got more media attention. I got to go.
Well, he
Steve
was on Fox News for years, so naturally he has the media attention.
Exactly. And maybe even more funding for that matter, too, I would say, too. Chad's starting to slow down a bit on that.
Plus, you know, British people just sound more intelligent just because of their accent. They could be saying the dumbest thing in the world, but they sound, this is the way AI see it. They just sound intelligent.
I guess so. I mean, Sebastian Gorka, I always hear him, yes. And I'm like, huh.
I never thought he was British. Wasn't he more Russian?
He's Russian, yeah, but he has that accent.
The accent makes you sound intelligent.
Exactly, yeah. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris sounds like a dodo bird, and then...
Did you hear that speech that Cortez gave in Germany? It was a word salad worse than Kamala Harris's. Look that up on YouTube.
Do you have a few examples of what she said, by any chance?
Not with me, but we should play it. Maybe I'll play it next week.
Okay, good. If we can get some clips next week for this.
I mean, it wasn't her whole speech, but she went on for a few... She also gets up there and accuses Israel of genocide. And she's doing this in Germany, the land that waged the Holocaust.
God.
She's actually gotten flack from both sides of the aisle for that.
I can't believe she would do that. Oh, man. In the meantime, I heard that Kamala did get up there and she started off her speech as this. I grew up in a middle-class
house. No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, with a middle-class lawn, in a middle-class car, with a middle-class mom, and a middle-class sibling.
And I give middle-class mediocre speeches.
Well, Bob, thank you again for this wonderful
Brendan,
time.
Brendan, it's always a pleasure.
You.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.